But I remember last year when I went to today, coffin started at 8 a.m.
Also interesting.
Interesting little fact.
Alright, now we're in HD.
Yeah, see, this
see
is
that?
The same. We have a new feature.
How can you see that?
Well, I can tell because the picture is
really clear.
Larger and clearer than it normally is.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I think there's some other new features too. I forget what they were. I think, yeah, I think you can do like questions and answers now. I don't know.
I didn't understand what that was, but I didn't look into it.
I didn't either. But I think like we could live broadcast this and people could answer, ask questions live with through like chat.
Is there a maximum number of people that can join a Google Hangout?
Yeah. I think if you, it was 10 to join, but you could make it live and be public. And anybody, and then it's, but they might even change that. I am a.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Hey, I've been meaning to ask you this for the past couple weeks. Can you move your computer so that you're sitting in front of the window?
If I sit on my bed, the lighting's better.
No, it's not. Are you sitting on your bed right now?
No, I'm sitting with Dad.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was asking. So, so if you sit on the bed and the lighting is better, why aren't you sitting on your bed?
I don't know. Move my bed. Just to make you happy.
Well, then we can see your wonderful smiling / grumpy face.
Yeah, I'm a little grumpy right now because there's a drunk guy sitting in front of my apartment building yelling stuff.
Oh. In French?
In French?
Yes, in French. He's a French drunk guy. If I open the window, you'll be able to hear him. It's really loud.
Oh, yeah, let's hear
let's
him.
Let's do that.
Sometimes I'm going to hang out.
Let's hear a French drunk guy.
Better?
Yeah, geez, yeah, now we can actually see you instead of your silhouette. Okay, never mind. Go back to your desk.
Oh, she took her hair down.
Jeez.
It's the Emma.
All right, so let's get started. So, related to Emma and France, so Yanook is going to be coming, who is a student that Emma's working with. I believe he's coming November 8th to December 20th. I will not be here in the month of November, but I will be here in the month of December.
The entire month?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
To be with Emma.
What about your class?
I've got a great TA this morning. I'm pretty sure it's going to be out. It's going to be fine.
Really?
I don't. Okay, TA. Yeah.
Not, no,
not great.
Correction.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
I know, seriously. So, like, I'll record lectures and I'll be live. I might have to facilitate the camera. I'll probably get a lot of guest lectures, and I'm probably going to do extra stuff before I leave. Like, give them a lot of material before I leave. I think it'll work out
okay.
Fine. Because they actually have to do their own running classes.
Particularly
the ones that aren't in labs, and we have a lot of those. So if you look at the dates, it's not too many free days.
Okay.
But it'll be. We'll talk about that. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I guess classes start. But anyway, so you know he'll be here. But what he's doing now, I believe he emailed me today. He's doing DNA. He's going to send it to us, and then we need to send it to bisulfite sequence ASAP. So the hope is that he has the data once he's here. But he emailed me today. I guess he's working on DNA this week. Is that right, Emma?
Yeah, he said he's doing it tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean, I've told him multiple times he needs to do it, like, right away. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I sent that in an email, and Charlotte's on all the emails, so Charlotte knows that it's guys needs to happen. And we can't even guarantee it, but the sooner the better. But it'll work out. It'll work out. So. All right, this is to Sam, but there should be pretty soon, we should have access to some of the old computer labs in the graduate student place. I don't know the details of them, but we just want to be a lookout for that, because clearly we want to get some, if not a couple, depending on what Michael makes available, because I think there'll be a few, so I'm sure they're decent and can be used. just a reminder about what do we think about Brownlee's paper, Brent? Is it still there? Is
it's
it
still there.
Is it interesting or not?
I think it's interesting. I think we should.
Just keep remembering it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk today?
Can.
A little short. Okay.
I don't think I should give my whole talk, but I should go through my slides.
Yeah, right.
I saw that and I was like, who's CEO?
So, the Open Notebook Science thing, that's any ideas for that? That's coming up fourth week of the month, which is probably pretty soon.
What is that?
That's that when we bring people from Iceland and seminar thing. We had to plan people. We were really great. They kept on sending me papers afterwards. I kept posting. Any ideas? Thoughts? Wishes?
I could try to get Matt's lab over. I could get in touch with them. It's more population stuff. That's the only idea. What about a staff lab?
Yeah. I should do something. Could be Noah, like Adam. I'd be interested to Adam talk about his reproduction stuff. There's a grad student in oceanography that does some pretty neat stuff. I don't know who lab she's in, but she's quite interested in terms of variety and different tools. I still want to get some people who are doing open notebook stuff. When's the fourth? When is it? Well, do you want to reach out to Matt and see?
Sure.
Quick, and if it's a yes or no, and then I'll.
Okay.
Is there any other SAFs? I mean, technically, Emma could coordinate an electronic one from France.
Yeah, the only problem is it would be in the evening, and most people have family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's right. It's nighttime now.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Alright, we'll go with that.
Where do you guys want to get up at like 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
No?
That's not 4
a.m.
I'll be up.
Yeah, you'll be up, Stephen. But you get to be here for a month anyway.
Yeah. Alright, so we'll do that. Notebook talk, what is that? That's probably what I just, that's the open notebook stuff. What's that? Oh yes, that's very good.
On Thursday.
That's correct. Is that still on, as far as you know?
I'll double check.
Yeah,
you might want to confirm. They have like a calendar and I think they wrote us in.
Okay, so what are we doing?
Talking about how awesome open science is.
What day, that's when, for how long?
It's like Thursday at 4 a.m. or something,
4. All right. Alright, so maybe we should have a plan at some point.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, then what's the best way to display pathways?
Yeah.
More specifically,
I'm working and trying to wrap my head around a lot of carbohydrate metabolism proteins and how they'll change different ways to respond to different stressors and what that might mean in the bigger picture. So I've tried going the keg route, except not all my proteins were in any keg pathway, even though they're actually involved in those kinds of metabolism. And so I kind of had to make my own in PowerPoint, but I feel a little uncomfortable doing that because carbohydrate metabolism is like this really huge thing that goes in multiple directions, and there are lots of different enzymes that do a lot of different things. And I mean, I basically spent an entire day trying to figure out what all the different proteins did, but I'm just worried that if I'm doing this on my own, I'm going to make a glaring error that someone who understands it better will see. So I
wonder if there's No, I agree. So yeah, that's what I was saying. Like when Brooke was here, it's like I'd be very scared to go off on my own and make assumptions. The first thing it comes down to is your ability to annotate them. So you're annotating you're annotating the oyster proteins based on the KEG or using the Zhang supplemental 14 or BLAST or what are you? That's the first step.
It was the stuff in my paper, so it was just the BLAST P against the Enterprise.
Okay. One option too is you could. What's the E value?
They're all really low. Multiple proteins.
Yep, I know. But what I meant to say is what limit did you use? So what I'm getting at is if you go this route, you could also be a little bit more relaxed with your E value if you're not having a lot match. That's one way to get more into the particular pathway. The other one is actually use that. I mean, so that's the first step. If you could get as more of them into annotated into a pathway, that would give you something more interesting to look at, right?
Yeah, the annotation isn't the biggest limitation. I think it's that I'm only using the 5-fold or greater differentially expressed protein.
Yep.
So that limits the number. And I have 12 proteins
carbohydrate metabolism. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, 2 or 3. It's just, there's so many carbohydrates. Yeah. But you're
talking about, so you're asking about visual representation of that? Yeah, I mean, Brooke suggested K, but that doesn't really work. I didn't have any other ideas.
I would getting it in the keg is the best way. Or the iPad. I'm assuming you've tried the iPath, which is I guess keg, right?
Probably. Yeah. iPath is keg
Y.
I'll play with iPath actually. I'll play with that a little more. But there's not that many proteins. What about like the network analysis? Where they all kind of go and connect. I mean, sometimes they look stupid if you've got like 100 proteins in there. But like Cytoscape or doesn't somebody make those little network things that could be somewhat useful? I don't know.
Yep, no, that's what I was thinking about. But I think she's not, those are more like interaction. So I've started playing that, which is pretty cool. And then String is the other one. But most of those have to do with interaction and not necessarily showing you the process of actually making the carbohydrate, which I'm assuming you want to do, right?
I'm interested in how the different types of carbohydrate metabolism are changing stress.
Yeah, I mean, to me, your best bet is the iPath, the KEG pathway, and if it's, and if you want to show more, I mean, you just go to 2-fold and you reduce your E values and you get a bigger picture and a clearer picture. I mean, I would rather, that's safer to me to do than try to do it on your own, because you just say what you did and did what you say. I've also started to do, I haven't played with it much, but I've taken all the proteins and annotated them with the String database, which has all these interactions, and there's a bunch of tables that I haven't really looked at, but I've downloaded them in my notebook. But I don't know how much that might be able to link those to.
Okay.
All right, so I guess we'll go on to what everybody's up to, and then we'll close and finish with Claire, and she can talk a little bit about the kind of the organization of our call tomorrow.
Yep.
All right.
So what's that contamination pipeline?
Well, it's mainly for, it's what I talked to you about, so and we'll try and get Giles, but I would like to get this magical way where we take all of our data and run it through specific steps For instance, like y'all's RNA-seq data, there's a lot of stuff that does not map to the oyster genome, which I'd like to just have this automated thing that tells me exactly what's going on.
How like many, if it's what?
E. coli, is it something else?
Okay.
So I've done most of that. Like I take the unmapped reads, map them back. A lot of them actually then assemble and blast as oyster mitochondrial genome. Which then made me think that mitochondrial genome is different than the regular genome. Is that true? False.
Not the same thing.
Right, so when somebody publishes a genome, there's no mitochondrial, so that lacks all the mitochondrial, right?
No.
So a lot of it was
mitochondrial genome separately.
Yeah, so what Joe got was mitochondrial, which is fine, as long as it had a poly tail, but there was a lot, but the problem is I haven't quantified it yet. There was a lot of things that blasted as E. coli, which we shouldn't have gotten because there's no poly tail. But I haven't been able to, before I go complaining to the core, I want to have a number. So that's a little bit trickier because I have to, ideally I would take the raw reads and put them out to the different taxa, but that's really hard. So, anyway, that's what that means. All right, so Mac, what have you been up to?
I've been in Norway, messing around, going to conference.
You met Joanna.
Did you meet Joanna?
Right, she works for, she's Portuguese, but she's
France. Oh, nice. I'm going to have to look it up in the thingy.
Her last name is Sousa.
S-O-U-S-A. Oh.
Yep, I'll look it up.
Oh, yeah, I know who she is. That's right. Yeah, that's cool. There's a couple shellfish people there and people working on a mussel genome. And there's a gal from Portugal who wants me to send her mussel samples. So she wants me to preserve them in ethanol and send them over to her. She does like population genetic stuff. So she sent me a little protocol on a FedEx number today.
Who's that? What's her name?
Margalada and then some last name.
Which muscles she wanted?
Well, that's why I told her I can't tell the difference between them. She said that's okay, just send them. She'll be able to.
She'll pair it out.
Yeah.
Who's doing the genome stuff?
People you met in Vigo this summer. I can't remember his name now. Let's look it up.
Oh, but you remember.
But you remember.
Yeah, he was good. Okay. He was pretty good.
Yep.
He worked in the U.S. some.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Well, I put the
epigenetic. No, that's two TLDR.
The what? Too long didn't read. Well, I mean that's what there was from the epigenetic.
Yeah, but so what's the real? I mean, what's so cool that everybody's doing that we're not doing?
I don't think anything really. I mean, like I said, the microRNA stuff was interesting. It seemed to be involved in multiple processes, and they were getting some cool data out of it. You can't really compare yourself to the zebrafish people.
They were there?
Yeah, the guy who gave the first plenary was replacing someone else who was supposed to talk.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So they showed all these like overlapping epigenetic marks and how they had to do with like how things turned on. Yeah, it was cool.
So is anybody else doing bisulfide?
Yes.
Were they doing reduced representation?
They are.
How are they doing it? Like the enzymes?
Yep. The enzymes, so you're kind of targeting islands more, the way they end up looking at it. And then the one person, people are planning on doing RRBS to reduce representation, but only one person had data. And her bioinformatics pipeline seemed a little odd. I think they were doing it kind of like an in-house one. And she was doing diploid versus triploid Atlantic salmon, just trying to get a different methylation.
Yeah, when you say RBDS, is that enzyme or that something else?
That's enzyme.
Okay.
Yeah.
What enzyme were they using? Were they like MSPs or do you go after?
No, I mean it's the like the Lister method or whatever. Like it's
okay.
I don't know which enzyme it is.
Is anybody doing that coupled with like RAS-seq?
No, there was no one doing population stuff.
Okay. Well, not at the whole meetings, not in the epigenetics.
Oh, yeah, just not at the lunch.
What about the rest of the meeting? Did you go?
There's a lot of transcriptome talks.
Yeah.
There's RevGo in your face and IPAs in your face. Yeah. There's a lot of transcriptomes. A lot of interest in plant feed versus animal feed, you know, food replacement. Yeah. A lot of cod, a lot of salmon.
Was the triploid diploid thing, have they seen any differences in the epigenetics?
She was just starting the analysis. She said global methylation, she couldn't tell the difference. But there were differences at certain islands. And I don't know why she was targeting just islands, you know, instead of looking at what was different and then trying to go back and see what it was. And that was kind of one of my questions. But she did see differences. She also reported data that it looked like the triploids were using all three alleles, and that maybe they had been upregulating microRNAs to kind of tamp down expression, so you didn't have just like tons of expression because you have one extra set of alleles in there. So that was kind of cool.
So their bioinformatics pipelines look kind of similar to ours, I know.
She was the only one that had her throughput data. And she didn't mention any software, and I didn't get to talk to her bioinformatics person who was there, but it was the last session on Friday, and so all those people from Bergen took off right after the meeting. So I'm just going to email her and see.
Do you have any interesting questions on your talk? Are anybody interested?
No, Frances asked if we had any idea about individual variation, and that was
how was he?
Hmm?
How was he?
He was good. He gave a good plenary talk, really like broad overview, and then some of their new stuff looks cool. They're trying to apply the MSAP a little bit more just because it's cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
And get more individual stuff. Yep, and they've got it working. It kind of I don't know if it's an oyster thing or not, but to talk to their people and see what's going on.
Yeah, it would be really nice to get that going.
Yep.
If it doesn't work.
It would.
So what are you working on now that you're back?
To finish up the manuscript and get that out. So I can look at the microarray data.
What did you grant?
Banging my head against the SK wall.
Yeah, we're pretty much gonna go low. I think about it.
Nothing's jumping out as a perfect fit. I hate trying to ride around something.
Yeah, maybe go low and spend some time while we can maybe do a big one. I also got a lead on this metabolomics. I think we might try to pursue that. Being rushed, so I'm at Irv Schultz, who just happened to email me. I got his name yesterday. Graham, and then he happened to email me today on something else, so I was emailed back and said, we're thinking about it, we're looking at this, how do you do it? He says he would be the one that would be able to do it, but they tell all day.
Sweet.
So we were looking at, you're interesting. You were looking at metabolites of sex steroid breakdown products and sex differences. That's kind of what we were asking for your grants. We're thinking about going to SK, but it's too basic.
It's just too short.
It's not a great fit, but I think royalty research might be worth it.
I have some other ideas for royalty.
Huh?
With royalty research, I can think of a number of things.
Yeah, and you'll tell them that's the harder one to do, but we should maybe talk about that. All right. Everything's going good with the Olympia stuff. We had the meeting with Anna and Katie and Jay last week. Nothing's new on that front, right? What about you, Jessica?
I'm still working on the metaplasia data. I did finish the new treatment group about year 2. And
yeah.
I'm working on the supplemental slides that we made for previous
groups.
I can't hear you at all, Jessica.
I'm still doing the same stuff.
But nothing, it said nothing. You said you look at 1,000 slides and you have nothing?
Not 1,000 slides.
No.
Oh, boy. No, I've been in and out of town.
But everything's going okay?
Yeah. I should be able to get some stuff on soon, hopefully. So we're actually looking at here.
Okay. All right, how about you, Hannah?
Sure. Thinking about capstone ideas.
Okay, yeah, so maybe this week you want to talk about some of that reproductive stuff. That might be
good.
Have you finished processing stuff?
All the samples I was given are already processed.
I don't know if you look, maybe add something to that, the wiki.
I had some stuff this morning.
Okay.
The parent samples I have, I'm not exactly sure where to put it in the wiki.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Like where the best spot for it would be.
Yeah, maybe after. Are you here today, I guess?
Yeah.
Maybe after now, me and you and Brandon sit down and just talk about those, the data, and also potential capstone types of investigation.
So, are you a decent photographer?
I like to play with cameras.
I would love to see some photographs of Fifth Canal versus South Sound versus North Sound that sort of shows off that they look different.
Okay.
Just for the talk.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam? What you been up to?
I ended up only being here on Friday last week, but I was working on that C1Q primer design stuff. Got that stuff taken care of. Got Emma's samples tracked down, sent out yesterday. So that's good.
Before we get to Claire, lab meeting, we talked about moving it. Did we decide something?
We say Monday at 9.
Monday at 9?
That's on the calendar.
Okay, that's what that's good? Yeah. Monday at
9. You're in class?
No, I work.
I guess the question is, what's Jake's schedule look like?
Wasn't he here when we called that? Or was he not?
It was last week.
Well, we'll just go with 9 o'clock tomorrow. I mean, next week, right? And then if we have to change it, we can change it. All right. Do you want a computer or not?
I got mine.
Oh, yeah, well. Hey, Claire, did you ever take your samples down for VS sequencing?
No, am I supposed to?
Yeah,
wait,
I'm also supposed to
get
samples?
The sperm and the larvae.
Oh. Yeah, the ones I isolate DNA from.
Oh, I thought you were taking them down. Couldn't even break into that right before me.
Wait,
am I taking them down?
No, they're taken down. They're on the sequencer and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're so mean to me.
It drains me that funny.
Or if you want to pull it up on your computer, you can. It's in the Dropbox. Either way, it works.
Not me. I'm trying to. The scariest part is like, what's
this one right here?
You're too late. Are you talking about this?
Oh, Charles is getting his wisdom teeth out.
He did decide to do that?
Yeah.
Who is?
On Monday.
Not that I'm a dentist or anything, but I advised him not to.
Who's getting his
wisdom teeth out?
Yes.
Charles.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Why
is he
doing
that?
Why wouldn't he? I don't know.
Because the dentist said, is your wisdom teeth are coming in. We should probably go ahead and get them yanked down. I was like, dude, why would you have, until there's fucking problems, why would you just wait to find out the jack things up?
That's okay.
Then it's like, do you really want to wait until you're older?
Back in the old days, they said I had that mountain, I ignored them, and they came in straight.
Really?
They were like, started out all weird, and then they came in straight.
Yeah,
Emma, I'm pretty sure. I sent you a link to the thing. I don't think we can share the screen when she does this because the way it's set up.
She doesn't have to listen to it.
Yeah, you don't have to. What's that?
I'm not sure what it is we're doing.
Oh, Claire's got a committee meeting tomorrow, and she was just going to briefly give an overview of what her talk was going to be. You don't have to listen to it, but that's what we're doing now.
Okay.
Claire, you're giving a talk. Where?
It's just a committee
meeting.
The first committee meeting. You're gonna wear the pirate hat?
Can I?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just go through my slides and you guys, I obviously haven't done this before, so let me know if I should like change or add or get rid of anything. This is my tentative title of my degree, I guess. Characterizing DNA methylation patterns. Pacific oyster. So it's gonna just start by comparing genetic and genetic variations, why epigenetic variations are gaining more popularity, why it's important. And I don't know how much of a background I should give. Like, I don't know how much Lorenz and Graham know. They obviously know what epigenetics is, but go into what it is and why DNA methylation is important, why it's important to study with respect to the oyster. And then go into a little comparison between vertebrates and invertebrates, what's known and what we still want to find out. Basically how vertebrates have global methylation patterns, and then invertebrates can be anywhere from limited to a mosaic pattern, and how some invertebrates even lack DNA methylation. And particularly within invertebrates, how its distribution and function is uncertain. And so, because of this, the goals for my project is to characterize the distribution of the methylation and use this information to potentially identify any functions of methylation in the Pacific oyster. And then briefly talk about why oysters are important to study. First off, the availability of genomic resources with the release of the genome. With respect to the Pacific Northwest, it has a social, economic, environmental prominence, which is interesting to the public. They're important bioindicators. They're sessile, obviously, so they have to cope and adapt to extreme environmental conditions of the intertidal. And how we think that because of this, epigenetic mechanisms may be responsible for them to tolerate a wide range of environments that are associated with the intertidal. So is that like a good intro? Should I add or get rid of anything?
Well, let's see what your parts are and make sure everything's covered.
So right now I see my degree being three different parts. So the first part is what I've been working on for the past year. Basically determining genome-wide methylation patterns with my bisulfite sequencing run.
So just to make one suggestion is just to go ahead and lay out all three on one slide for Graham and them, just so that's kind of
an overview.
The anxiety sitting there the whole time waiting up to this slide is for them to know what you're actually going to do.
Yeah, and it takes a while for me to go
if not even before to go ahead and lay out the three aspects of your thesis.
I would even lay out tell them what you're going to talk about too at the very beginning. Say, I'm going to give you an introduction, then I'm going to talk about these three parts.
Oh, like a really overview.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
Because then people aren't wondering where this talk goes the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never seen this before, but your first slide could see being the three parts. This is the three parts of my thesis.
I didn't even think of that.
I've never seen it before too, but then you say, okay, now I'm going to explain to you why, and then I'm going to talk about the details.
Okay.
Of how I'm going to accomplish that.
So bisulfite, I'll kind of explain what it is, how I analyze this data, and then go into RNA-seq, how I'm going to start analyzing that, and why it's important with the same tissue. And then I don't think I'm going to keep this, but I kind of wanted to give them an overview of like how my workflow is and kind of how complicated this data set is, how my bioinformatics pipeline works.
like data I got back from the run, the mapping I do, and then just the pipeline I use to run through this data set.
I
can clean this, that up a little bit.
I would make it shorter, okay. And I think you could leave out the numbers and just say this is the workflow, boom, 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 you know?
I kind of want to have some numbers though, so like maybe just like 7.6 4 million, so they can see like how big this data set really is. Or should I not do any numbers?
Well, I mean, you could throw it in there, but I wouldn't have it be part of the description. You could throw it in there early, you know, the workflow with this, you know,
okay.
This big of a data set, and then boom, 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 here's the steps.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm distracted by the numbers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the numbers instead of thinking about what your steps are.
Yeah. Okay.
What's part one in a sentence?
Genome-wide methylation patterns.
That's right.
That's right. This is from my paper showing the history of methylation radios from this data. One main finding is that methylation was dispersed throughout the genome. And then I was going to show how we can start to visualize this data set on different tracks. So kind of explain that each dot is a CpG and kind of try to start to line up methylated areas with different genomic regions in the oyster. And when we start to look at methylation within genomic regions, one of the main things we've found is that methylation is predominantly on exons and introns, or intragenic regions. So, and then the other figure from my paper showing the distribution of methylation within these regions, I've divided up into methylated, sparsely methylated, and unmethylated regions. You can see the majority of, if you look at the red slice, the majority of methylation is still within exons and introns. Kind of go into this from Mac and Green paper of, you know, why is this important, and with this theory that the lack of methylation may contribute to this increased adaptive potential by allowing for these alternative transcriptional activities. So that's part one. Second part is going to be my larvae experiment. So I get to characterize the methylation landscape and identify potential functions of methylation throughout various stages of oyster development. So doing this experiment where I'm looking at oyster sperm, eggs, and larvae. Explain my experimental design, how there were four males and one female, and took samples of the eggs and sperm from each of these individuals, froze those, and then I collected larvae at 3 days post-fertilization and 5 days post-fertilization. So the advantage of looking at these two different cell types, sperm, is important to examine because it offers a single cell type, which will remove any bias of cell-specific methylation. And then larvae samples I'm looking at will be interesting because there's significant changes in tissue-specific gene expression occurring at 5 days post-fertilization. So
the tissue-specific thing, since it sounds weird because you're using whole larvae.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask about too.
That's true.
So you're just globally gene expressions
are
turning on.
Differentiated
during
that time.
Well, the rationale here is the two more interesting, I think, questions are you're trying to be able to get heritability.
Yeah.
You're also going to be able to look at it potentially very smallly, but individual variation.
Okay.
Right? Because you've got multiple sperms.
Yeah.
And then the other big thing is the whole issue of resetting. Not that we actually get it, but you know, that's the big thing in the literature with the Guillaume's paper and the Mendelian data about,
he had that big change in methylation that occurred at a specific time. I don't know how this corresponds time-wise. But that's the underlying thing.
So the rationale in part one for sperm is the same? Or a narrower
I've seen part one just being, you know, a global understanding of where methylation is and trying to associate any function to that.
So you might want to have a because you looked at sperm, so have a rationale in part one. So you don't have to restate that part of the rationale, so that in part two, you can say, we're using sperm here because, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because
just kind of state why it's different, is that what you mean?
Well, it's just, it's a nice clean way to look at these, you know, differences among these among males and see what happens.
The single cells, I mean, you said it, but what he's saying is you also, you've already told us you did that in part one, and so put it up ahead of part one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's your big theme, your major part of your thesis is the sperm, is that part of the sperm and the larval development. I mean, that's the core part of it anyway. So
yeah.
It fits together fine. Yeah. And while we're talking about it, you should also, in the part one, talk about the gene expression. So, I mean, to me, that's what I, like you just said, the part one is just kind of looking at a big picture, looking at the relationship with genomic features across the whole genome and gene expression patterns. And you can just say you haven't quite, you're still looking at that now, but that's the plan.
Yeah,
this
I have an RNA-seq slide, but I'll go into more detail with that.
But this has more to do with just comparing the variability and larval and what's going on during the larval development. So there won't be any. Well, we technically speaking, we're not going to have as much data because you're not really going after your whole coverage of the whole genome. It's more of comparisons across the two because I think you did it all in one lane.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do more, but that's, so it's not that you're not really going after full comprehensive coverage in part two. It's more comparison.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Yeah.
This is my experimental setup, how we put 2 million eggs in these 100 liter containers. There were 4 different containers for the different individuals. And these are some of my larvae counts, which we used to determine which individuals we would look at first. And we chose take 1 and take 3 for our analysis.
Alive and dead.
Yeah, sorry. Red is alive, blue's dead. The counts for the, these are just triplicate counts.
What's your y axis?
Is this not counts, is it like percentage?
Just number of individuals.
Oh, just number of individuals? Or you just
see the proportion, I guess.
Yeah, I'll label that.
You picked them because they were more alive?
Yeah, well, tank 2 had a ciliate in it, so I didn't want to choose that one. And then, I forget why we chose those two, just because they have the most proportion of alive to dead, I think.
Why are you showing that?
I don't know, just to show that we chose those for analysis, and we're going to wait for the data now. Should I not show it? It's not really
important. Doesn't add much to the story, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does, it raises a question.
Well, I would just,
say that
leave it out, but there seemed like there needs to be a slide kind of outlining what you did, like a picture of 4 tanks or something, and 4 males. I mean, I knew you said it.
Like a schematic. So, okay, we did, here's these males, and
that's
these
males
with all these tanks, and we took them straight through, and here are the samples we took, but you did it schematically.
Yeah, it was one female, right?
Yeah, I guess that was my way of showing it, but it's not very helpful.
That's right, you was one female, right, and 4 males?
Yeah.
You follow the 4 males, the spawning events in the 4 separate tanks. Because, like I said, that clearly shows the kind of the rationale between the comparison and the fact that there's only one female.
Okay, yeah, that'll be helpful.
And the A, B, and C are the dates of sampling?
No, those are just like triplicate. I counted 3 times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So just
it's not.
I don't think you need to.
What did you? You said you took out. You drained the whole tank, or you went drain the tank and
I forget how we did the logistics. You don't have to do this in the thing, but I'm just saying thing for myself.
How we sampled?
Yeah, the larvae.
Yeah, I did it on these little like nets. I don't think it's shown here. So, kind of like one of those. Remember when we washed the eggs?
Yeah.
It was a certain size like net, and then I literally just like took the bucket. She had like condensed them all into one bucket through filtering, and then I just poured out in the bucket and like rinsed it off. So I had like a bunch of larvae on the net, and I like scooped them and put it in a tube.
Do you know how many? Can we estimate like how many larvae or weight or anything?
Yeah, I think I wrote it down somewhere. Like how many we wanted.
We did that too. We're trying to write a new proposal, and if somebody they think we're gonna do, so we're not gonna do enough DNA. We're gonna have to do a lot. So if you could give me that number, a rough number of how many you think that would use, and it was barely enough.
Really?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. It's not clean. I thought I can't get. I can't keep track. But didn't you have to like
re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re
that's the other thing is I preserved larvae in different ways. Like some of them I put like a scoop in ethanol and then I put a scoop in like on regular ice because I didn't have dry ice.
Right. Well, yeah, we remember that. But I'm just thinking like whatever went to the mission, whatever went downtown was enough. What I would like to know is like how many and how many larvae went into enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can try.
But you didn't use the sample.
I didn't use the entire sample.
You did eyeball or something.
I took, you know, like 500 microliters, you know. It's like, this looks pretty dense. See how it goes. And it wasn't enough. And so when you get there, you grab another 500 microliters until this looks pretty dense.
So you got about a mil of dense larvae, like it looked like dirt.
I guess so.
Yeah, it looks like
that's a lot.
That was a mil out of.
But I'm just throwing that number out there. I don't know. I mean, I don't recall volumes that.
Right. No, but in order of magnitude, it wasn't a microliter.
No.
Yeah.
So and it was just in order. I mean, but you know roughly how many larvae you put in there.
Was I think I can figure out how many larvae were in like each of those big containers.
No, but when you took the sample.
I don't know how much she took and so.
Okay.
When I took a sample, it was like
super. Did Molly
rough.
Take it? Any of them? Did Molly take any of your samples?
She took them on Wednesday. Yeah.
She took them on Wednesday, but she gave them to me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So she took the samples. So she might remember. She's good at eyeballing how many larvae. That'd be just a good thing to know. Just.
Yeah,
roughly.
I can ask.
Oh, that's right. Friday, you just killed the whole tank.
Yeah.
I mean.
But she. Something about like she didn't want to have too many larvae in one tank, so like on day three is when she took some out and put it on that thing.
Yeah. Well, I was looking through notes to see if we can figure out how many, roughly how many larvae, either if it, whether it's by volume or something, that we can predict how much we would need. Because actually, I think, Note's doing the same thing. But his situation is, he knows he's got a DNA.
Yeah. All right. This slide, it's in the wrong spot and I need to clean it up. It's just about what MDC gives. So the
Did you go back a second? Did you do MDC?
No, I mean the MBD protocol for the heat shock experiment.
The array?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not, it has nothing to do with seek.
No,
okay,
sorry.
All right.
I need to take that out. And then the third part will be my heat shock experiment. And so what I'm testing here, well, I want to look at changes in methylation as a response to high temperatures, how I sampled these oysters pre and post stress of a temperature shock. So kind of working with the hypothesis that the development of stress resistance and potentially epigenetic mechanisms may play a role in survival under these environmental condition variations that oysters are exposed to. So this is just showing experimental design, how I had 22 oysters in I sampled them before and after exposure to a temperature shock of 40 degrees for an hour. We can sample them non-lethally using magnesium chloride. How their shell opens, and I was able to take a tissue sample of the mantle. So for this, I'm doing potentially RNA-seq, and then for sure a tiling array to look at differences in methylation between the same organism pre and post heat shock. So maybe I should elaborate on that.
Well, you don't have to elaborate. I mean, that's
your
first meeting. Yeah, I think it is. This is what you're planning on doing. I mean, you've done that because you haven't. The only part you've really done is the actual experiment.
So my next steps are: I'm working on my bisulfite sequencing publication. I need to finalize that, and then I want to begin my RNA-seq analysis for the same tissue, oyster gonad, and then. That'll be important to look at differential expression of genes. So Sam has submitted these larvae experiment samples. And then whenever that's run, I need to begin the analysis for that, but it'll be good because I already have this bioinformatics pipeline set up, so hopefully I can do a somewhat quick analysis of that data set. And then I've been troubleshooting with this MBD protocol for a while, and I really need to just figure out what I'm doing wrong with this lab work so that I can get going on my tiling array. Milestone slide. So what I've done so far is learned and understood the necessary bioinformatics for analyzing this high-throughput bisulfite sequencing data set, which will be important for my larvae experiment. And then I've completed the larvae experiment and the heat shock experiments, but I still have to analyze that data. And then my future milestones will be completing the MBD and getting the tiling array going, and then finishing up my manuscript for bisulfite sequencing. And then I just have like a timeline slide of how I hopefully see this running. And then I have like a classes slide.
What timeline is
it? I don't know if this is accurate though. So hopefully I will be done by the fall of next year.
Is there any way to like break it into the three different projects?
Yeah, I can try to do that.
Color the text.
And it might be good also just to like check the ones, like mark the ones that are done on there.
Okay.
Because I'm going, wait, she did that.
Yeah, it's kind of
a lot of it. You know, so just sort of to show where you are on your projection.
Right, or you can just draw a line into where we are today. Right, and then you assume everything the left's done.
Yep.
By the fact that you're there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a little quibble, but instead of calling it a publication, call it a manuscript.
Okay.
I also noticed on your future milestones you didn't list graduating.
That's assumed.
Oh. What happens when you assume?
Classes.
No.
Just what I've taken.
How many classes do you have to take? Are you taking?
I have a sheet that I'm going to hand out that like shows what I've taken and what I'm going to take for the next year.
But are there any? Do you have any credit hours you need to fulfill that you don't know what to take? Or you have a good idea?
I have a good idea.
Okay, so you're going to give
There's only one more requirement I need. But then, like, besides the requirements, there's other classes I want to take.
You should put that.
Add that on here? Because I have it on, like, a paper that they make you fill out.
I would, just for your committee to see.
Okay.
Oh, dude, you're taking the art class?
What?
You're taking the art class?
Yeah, this fall.
Yay, nice.
Finally.
Trevor brings slides and do her homework, so we can all get the benefit.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you guys not take it?
I want all the stuff.
I didn't take it.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And then there's another one that's like creating amazing figures in R or something. I want to take two, which I need.
Trevor wouldn't let me audit that class.
Really? I didn't know Emma was solar.
I am.
Okay, and then I just have acknowledgements.
Just so you know, so the protocol for listing acknowledgements personnel is either I'm listed at the top or my name is bolded.
Why would you be at the top?
Reverse alphabetical order.
Yes.
It's like that protocol.
Or I'm bolded. One of the two options, it's up to you. That's just so you know, I mean, you're new to the lab still.
You're so predictable.
Yeah, get some new material.
Is that for real? Yeah, or are you just saying that so you'll be at the top?
What?
Is that for real, or are you just saying that so you'll be at the top?
I mean, it's sort of for real, but it's a joking real thing that people have implemented to some degree.
Okay. So, what? I guess you guys already told me what I should change. Anything major that I'm forgetting, or?
No, I mean, just like what Brent and Steven were saying, just a reorganization.
Yep.
Yeah. I think one thing that often gets missed in these is you know, putting it really well into the larger context of, like, you know,
yeah.
Here it is. And you say it at the beginning, but I think you could say more. Like, before you get down to the nitty-gritty of what your different parts are, you could say just sort of remind them, okay, here's how this fits into the bigger picture of what.
When I lay out my three parts. Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I'd go bold and I would lay out the first slide, your three product parts.
Okay.
And then go and explain them a little bit more. Then I could even see what he was saying. Then you could actually put that slide back up and have three parts and then reemphasize what aspects each part will address that's profound. One being the whole genome methylation, one being development in an individual variation, and
yeah, that would be helpful.
And then the last one is the effective environment. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, because then it's very clear what it's done. So that's what I would do.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that expression stuff I put up yesterday?
I was looking at it this morning. I didn't really look at it in detail, though.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, there seems to be a relationship with gene body methylation and expression, but I think that's similar to what Max showed with the Zhang data, right? Mm-hmm. But I kind of saw a pattern in the promoter, the relationship in the promoter stuff.
Yeah.
Which we did that for. Didn't we do that with yours before you left, and we didn't see anything we liked, if I recall? Because I followed the same protocol with literature for that. To me, I might not have looked at it in the exact same way.
Yeah, I don't think I looked at it the same way.
But to me, there's a pattern. All right, I guess that's anything else? Yeah. Let me look at this expression.
Are you going to start reading my discussion, Stephen?
Yeah, as soon as I get to, did you get the Swiss Pros on a separate line yet?
I'm working on it. I managed to get the file uploaded, and I ran the code today. It was taking a really long time, I couldn't find the original code you're talking about that we learned in class. I have no idea what you're referring to.
Alright, yeah. I'll take a look at it.
Alright.
Bye.
Over.